folks. You are listening to the A Minute to Midnight show. My name is Tony. Today on the show, our guest is Elizabeth Nebenfuhr, and Elizabeth had an incredibly powerful experience and encounter with the Lord Jesus while she was on the operating table, and he gave her a very strong message of warning to give to people, and that is what we will be talking about in this show. So you don't want to miss this one. It is powerful and very important. We welcome to the A Minute to Midnight show, Elizabeth Nebenfuhr. It's really nice to be chatting to you on the show today, Elizabeth. I've had Brooke tell me that you have the most important imperative message that we need to hear. So it's really great to be chatting to you on the show today.
Thank you. It's an honor. And thank you so much for allowing me this podium to speak to the world. This is big. So it's about God. And I just thank you so much. God bless you. Thank you.
That's great. So I think I'll just open with a prayer, and then we will launch into it.
Okay.
Lord, we just give you this episode of the A Minute to Midnight show. I thank you that you've given us this chance to put the voice out of words that you want to share and that you want your people to hear. So, Lord, I pray that you would give wisdom to both myself and Elizabeth, and that above all, you'll give us the anointing and your Holy Spirit would flow and give us the right things to say, and that we wouldn't add anything unnecessary, and we wouldn't take away anything that you want to share, but that we'd be fully open to sharing your word in this show today. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
So, Elizabeth, can you give our listeners just a little bit of a background into you and your life?
Sure. Okay. Well, in February of 2006 was when I had the shoulder surgery after the chemotherapy. But on 2003 is when I really just sold out for the Lord. So I've been, when the 2006 visitation happened, I really didn't know much. I was involved in church, but I didn't really have the understanding of his presence or so much as I did at, you know, when I had gotten touched. So everything that I saw had to line up with the Word of God. That was really important to me. I knew that.
Actually, like if people want to read your story, which we'll be talking about and adding to today, they can go on to Miranda Devon's site, Why God Really Exists, and she has an article there called Encounter with Jesus and His Instructions to the End Day Believers, and that's Elizabeth's story, and that's basically what we're talking about today. So people can actually go there and they can read the incredible testimony that you have.
Amen. And they can also get a hold of me through Facebook. I'm pretty open, and I love all people, and you can look for me on Facebook, and if you have any questions, I'm here to answer them for you as well, okay? I guess that we can just start with my understanding that I had breast cancer. And when I was diagnosed, I had no time to even think about it. I wanted to live. And I had gotten to a place with the Lord that I said, "What I'll do whatever it takes. I do not want to die. I want to live to declare your works, Lord." So I placed myself into his hands, and I knew that through the whole thing that I was going to have an experience, but I wasn't really sure what it was. I thought, well, you know, this is going to really change my life. I'm going to live a different way. But no way did I ever think that anything like this. I went through all of the surgeries, and it just happened to be a surgery for arm atrophy, which had happened from they missed the vein and pushed the chemotherapy into my body instead of into the vein. And so it was very painful, and I waited on the Lord, and prayed for this healing, but it happened this way. So I went in for surgery on February 9th of 2006. And being that it had been 2 years after all of the diagnosis, the chemotherapy, the radiation, I was diagnosed in 2004. So it had been 2 years. And when I had gone in, I experienced the presence of God right there in the room, and knew that He was present with me, that His angels were present with me. And what I wanted more than anything was to be a witness to the doctors and the nurses, to be honest with you, whether I lived through it or not. I found it recently that that I'm allergic to anesthesia. Crazy, but I just found that out recently because I hadn't had to have another surgery, and I found out I was sensitive. So that's what they call it, a sensitive. And so I don't need much. And apparently I'll say it like this, whether I was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. Whether I died, whether it was NDE, I don't know. I just know that I was with Jesus and what I'd seen and what He told me. And when I was in the operating room, I prayed, and then all of a sudden, from the time I began to pray, I was immediately, I mean, like in a blink of an eye, I was in the presence of Jesus. And I can't even explain with my own, with words, there's no words. He was everywhere. It was light personified beyond anything that you can even imagine. He encompassed every space that there could be. Where I was, I wouldn't say I was in heaven or in His throne room. I was just in the presence of the Lord in a heavenly realm. So this I knew, this is what He impressed upon me, that I was in a heavenly realm, and He was magnificently beautiful, the most beautiful thing that I'd ever set my eyes on. And like I said, when you read, they can go and they can read with they're at Miranda's. So I just want everybody to know that everything that I'm telling you within my heart and every ounce of my being, just speaking to you right now, I know that it's true. And He is awesome. And why is He awesome? Because you stand in awe of Him. Your mouth drops open. There are no words that... You don't even speak words when you're in His presence. It's as if He knows every thought that's in your mind, and you know every thought that is projected to you. He speaks without moving. I didn't see a mouth. I saw His face shining like the sun. I didn't see Jesus, long hair, eyes, nose, mouth, ears, hands, nothing. I didn't see any of that. It was a face that shined like the sun, and a and His robe, and He was as long, as tall. He was huge. That's all I remember saying. You're huge. You're huge. He was huge. Now He came to me like that. I have to say, this is how I saw Him. This is how He is. And He was beyond anything. I believe that He showed me Himself like this because it is who He is. But to also tell the people, He's bigger than, He's not just a man, He is God. You know, He's huge, and He encompasses everything. And so when I was standing, He was standing before me. Not only was He standing before me, but He let me feel who He is in me, as if I was one with Him. And so as I'm standing there, I'm looking at Him, and my mouth is open, and He begins to talk to me. And all I could do was nod my head yes. That nothing could come. I mean, I was in the presence of Jesus. And so he let me know that what He had to say to me was very important, and that I had to really listen. And of course, I'm going, am I dead? You know, I'm thinking these things. Where am I? What am I doing? My body's down there. I'm up here. I mean, really, you know that you are separated from, well, I did, that I was separated from my body and that I was in the presence of Jesus and that there was beyond. There was even more. And so where I was, there was more. And I knew this. So his light was everywhere. It wasn't blinding. And it was actually, the love was absorbed through every part of me. And the thing is that when I was there, I had hair and my body was whole. This is what I felt. And in the natural, I had no hair. And of course, my body is not whole. I had a I had a radical mastectomy of my left breast and a partial on the right. So I was just, I felt whole. And so in that, I'm standing there and he's telling me, Elizabeth, what I have to tell you is very important. You have to listen to everything I said. And I said, yes, yes. And you have to go back and tell them, yes, yes. But as he's telling me this, I'm going, they're not going to believe anything that you tell me. And I'm standing here going, you're so beautiful. How can I even describe any of this to the people? Everything that you tell me, Lord, I'm telling the Lord, everything you say to me has to line up with the word of God. Everything you say to me, I have to go back and it has to line up.
Yeah.
And so as I'm looking at him, I couldn't believe the beauty. It was such splendor, such majesty, beyond anything. Any more than what I saw, I think I would have surely died. I think that I would not come back. And when I did come back, it took me 3 days to come back to being, you know, like back to myself again, because I truly missed being with him. And I didn't want to go, but I knew I had to go back. So I just want to give people an understanding that when you look at as high as any building in a city is, or the biggest tree that you can even imagine, the hugeness and magnificence of a tree, because that's the only way that I can describe it, is this huge, huge ancient tree with his arms, with branches spread out. So you can kind of get an idea as to how he looked when he was standing before me. It was humongous. And his robe was stunning. It was just billowing and light was bouncing off of it and it was alive. And it was literally singing praises to him. Everything is alive. Everything is alive. There is no death. I was not dead. I was alive. I was more alive than I could. I'm telling you, Tony, I have no words. I was more alive than when now, you know, and everything. I'm knocking on the table here. I feel this, but this is not even. This is but a vapor, you know, even though we can feel it, it's nothing. It really is nothing. And what is after is eternal and amazing and love and like nothing you'd ever could imagine in this life. So I saw his robe billowing and I was trying to keep my mind on him. And it was like he had me focus on him. When we talk, we kind of go off here and there and everywhere, and our eyes go here and there and everywhere. And he kept me drawn to his attention, even though I saw everything all at once. And so as this, you know, his beauty that I can't describe, I just stood there in awe. And immediately he filled me with boldness and told me, Elizabeth, you have to go back and tell them all of what I tell you. And I said, okay, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I will go back and tell them. They're not going to believe me. He said, they didn't believe me. And I said, they're going to mock me. And he showed, now these are the things that aren't written in the testimony, because really they can only be spoken out. I saw everything that he had gone through on the cross. There's not a movie. Even the Passion of Christ cannot just display, you know, can't even be a depiction of what our Lord went through. and they spit on him, and they scourged him, and they ridiculed him, and it was horrible. And I said, Lord, I'll do anything for you. If you, I know what you've done for me, and him showing me that, I said, I'll go back and I will tell them everything. And I don't care if they curse me. I don't care if they spit on me, and I don't care what they do to me, but I will die telling them about this. And so as he went on to show me these things, I just kept saying, yes, yes, yes. And he said, Elizabeth, you have to go back. I have work for you to do, and you have to listen to me right now. And I shook my head, yes, yes. He said, tell them I'm coming soon. And we hear that a lot, right?
Yes.
I'm coming soon, right?
Yeah.
And some people even believe that he's already come already and all of these things. But I'm telling you, Jesus is coming back, and he's coming back with fire in his eyes and a sword in his mouth. People don't want to hear that. So he said, before I come, Elizabeth, you tell them that there'll be catastrophic events and great destruction. Catastrophic events and great destruction. And I saw it.
Wow.
He not only showed me him on the cross and why he went on the cross, he showed me the events that were going to partake before his coming.
This is before we get into that, just one thought. See, I had people speak about the fact that even Lucifer can appear, or Satan appear, as an angel of light. And when sometimes people have these kind of experiences, they're questioning, was it really Jesus, or was it, you know, is it a Luciferian deception? And I've heard people say, if you, you know, you see the a light, don't go to the light, because that's part of the deception and things. And yet I'm sure there are probably genuinely cases where that happens. But the fact that you are shown a message that lines up with Scripture and the crucifixion of Jesus pretty much would separate your experience from the deceiving ones, as far as I can tell. Have you just got any comments on that before you continue into the, you know, what you're about to share?
I think that you pretty much covered that. Well, it speaks of many things, like, you know, Matthew 23 talks about the things that are going to happen before he, you know, that these things, when the disciples asked him, you know, how, when will we know you're coming? And he said in Matthew 23 and Mark 13 and Luke 21, all these things, all the signs that are going to happen before he comes. And I'll tell you, I don't think that Satan's going to warn anybody. You know, I think that when he appears, he bamboozles people into thinking everything is going to be just great. Hunky-dory, you know, there's not going to be any problems, though. Everything's, you know, peace, peace when there is no peace, correct?
Yeah.
Right? So the great deception, let's see, you and I and others that I know that you've had on have spoken and seen certain things. And like, you know, Brother Nathan, he comes on and he tells us about what the Lord's shown him, and verbatim, you know, and he lines it up with everything. And with that, we'll know, you know, his children will know. They'll see, they'll have eyes and ears to hear. And that's what the Lord is emphasized to me. Listen.
Yeah.
That was one of the things he said. He said, listen, listen to what I'm saying to you. And so we'll know his voice. We better know his voice, right?
Yeah.
So I think that, that the difference between, you had asked me the question, the difference between possibly an angel of light coming and deceiving. Well, I know that he's gonna say things too that will make people go down another way. But I find that a lot of people that see that type of thing go into another path. They get into a lot of other things. They don't really delve into the Word, you know.
They get into basically New Age type thinking, a lot of the more universalistic type of thinking. And that's when I think you can know that it was a deceiving spirit, when it's a god, or, you know, or a supposed god that appears to them and basically just doesn't tell them that they have to do, you know, no gospel message or anything, just this universal peace and love kind of message. So I just wanted to stress that, because I know I've had people email before when I've had near-death experiences on the show and things, and people have come out with that kind of question. So I just wanted to cover that and clear that up. So before we move on forward, so thank you for that. So let's pick up with some of the things that you were shown.
Well, he showed me the earth full of abominations, and that was horrific to see what this nation and other nations do to a little one. This is what he showed me, so I'm going to speak it out. The church needs to speak up. That's really, this message is really for the church, the end time church. If, oh Lord, help me. They just let things pass. And the Lord said, you know, just because you have a man whom you think in the office that appears to be standing up for God, be very careful if you think you stand. Be very careful if you think that you have put your trust in a man, in chariots and horses, because God is coming in us suddenly, and the church is going to be the first one knocked on its rear end. Sorry, but I'm just being real. Judgment comes to the house of God first, right?
Yes, yes.
So the abominations is abortion. It's the innocent blood of babies being torn from the womb. And we can't just walk away going, well, you know, judge not. No, 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 no. The church is to judge one another. The church is to test every spirit and to bring righteous judgment. Can't judge the world. The world's going to do things. The world's going to sin. We have to warn the world and tell them, come to the Lord. Come to him now while he can still be found. And so when I saw these abominations, I wept with him. He weeps. He's long-suffering. He is so long-suffering. I am surprised we're still here. Thank you, Lord. I am surprised this world is still spinning. And we can all think about, well, you know, what's going on and what the churches are allowing, and just kind of, you know, passing off. We do have to love people. Love your neighbor as yourself. Absolutely. We also have to tell them, repent. Turn from your sin. Obey. Be obedient.
Yeah, there's a lot of teaching that doesn't teach that anymore in church, you know, that you don't really hear about repenting. It's all about grace and no condemnation and no, you know, well, you can almost not even have to clean up your life kind of a thing in many churches. But that's not the message you obviously received.
No. And then he showed me the face of hopelessness. That when these things come upon the world, because these things are going to come. It's written. I didn't write it. God did. I read it. I pray. I ask him. It's his words. I'm not adding anything to. He says, these things will happen before my coming. And it's there. And the judgments are going to be severe. And the church better wake up.
Yeah, so you see the church going through the hard times, not being spared from them.
No, I don't. And that's going to be a tough message for people because, you know, they don't think that they're going to see a lot of this. And they're hoping that they just get popped out of here. And this is not a pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib conversation.
Yeah.
All I am saying is we are going to see the faces of despair. And it's happening now. We look back and we look at history and the Great Depression and the time of the Holocaust. I don't want to get into too much of that. But those times, people, if they could run and hide and get away from sickness, death, starvation, all of the things, murder, they would have ran, but they couldn't. They were trapped. There was no way of getting out. And if people could have, the hard times that came where they couldn't eat, they had to stand in lines. People, don't think that you're above any of that, that this nation is going to be great again. I want it to be. We all want it to be. And we hope for that. I tell you, there's going to be hopelessness. There's going to be men's hearts will fail them. And anyone that believes that we're in that time, and it's going to be a good, it's going to be a wonderful, beautiful time too for those that are in Christ, because there's going to be the pouring out of God's Spirit. I'm excited for that too. But you know, when the hopelessness comes, we have to be prepared to bring these people into knowing what the kingdom of God promises for them. That's being prepared, getting our souls prepared, and helping to prepare other souls. Discipleship, true discipleship, not just saying a prayer at the altar and receiving Jesus into your heart and going about and continuing to sin purposefully. People are doing it and think that they're a Christian. And that's another thing that the Lord showed me. He showed me twice. I actually, 9 months after this particular visitation, I had another one that I knew that was going to be different. And I saw utter darkness. And we'll talk about that another time. If we could.
Yes.
But, you know, Jesus says, he says, many will come to him on that day saying, Lord, Lord, I did all these wonderful things for you, thinking they did God a favor. And you know what he says? You know what he says? He says, depart from me. I never knew you, you worker of sin. Wow. That humbles me. It humbled me. He showed me. He showed me my condition. You could, because these things, you stand before him, he shows you who you are too. He wasn't just showing me the horrible things that people did. He was showing me what, you know, he had to do some work in my heart too. He had to make me bold enough to even sit here right now talking to you, because I can't do this. I can't do this. Only he can. And when you cry with Jesus, when you cry with his broken heart for all of humanity, of all that he has created, he loves everything he's created, every single thing that he has created. We pollute, we destroy, and there's men that he'd shown me that are sitting in power just getting ready to destroy because they don't believe in him. So they think they can do whatever they want, whenever they want to. And the word says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and repent, church, wake up and repent. Now, I do want to emphasize that he told me, do not be afraid. And this is the message for his children, because there, these times that come, we look and we go, wow, catastrophic events, just great destruction. Do not be afraid. Do not fear. He will never leave us or forsake us. He will never leave his children, those that are his, born of his Spirit. We have to be born of his Spirit. A lot of people don't want to hear that either. You must be born again to enter the kingdom of God. You have to be born again, born of his Spirit. So I knew something supernatural was happening with me when I was with him. And he impressed upon me that there are spiritual enemies that will persecute his children, and that there will be persecution at the end. And he showed me that. These are not things. I was like, Lord, why are you showing me these things? He had to show me so that I can come back and tell people, listen, these are the things that are going to come upon those that speak. We have seen nothing yet. You know, there's people, and I'm not dogging on the church, because I love the church. I love the church. But there's people that think that just because their pastor, somebody's talking about their pastor's tie being ugly, that he's being persecuted. Oh, don't touch the anointed. Do him no harm. Why? Because we say, ew, that's an ugly tie. You have no idea what persecution is going to look like. Well, we now have what's called a great invention. Knowledge has increased. Did he not say that knowledge would increase in the time? We can flip on a television if they'll show it to us, but we can go on the internet and we can see babies are dying. Bombs are being let off. We are so blessed still in this country. We are, to be able to speak about Jesus and not be killed.
Yeah, I see people, I've answered comments and things, you know, people that seem to think that they'll be raptured before any bad things happen. And again, you know, this is not whether the rapture is, there's a pre-trib rapture or mid or post or whatever. I don't even want to get into that. But they seem to think that none of the bad things will happen to America or, you know, to the West even, because for some reason they'll be exempt or will be exempt. That, you know, the bad things are not going to happen till, you know, after we're gone, sort of a thing. And it's like, well, hang on a second, what about the Middle East and the Christians there that have been killed, and or the people in Venezuela that are starving, and those, are they less important to God that somehow America or other Western countries are more special, that they get taken away before anything bad happens? It's like, no, I don't think so.
Absolutely. You are right on that one. Yeah, we need to be prepared because, you know, like you were just saying, I mean, there's floods. People are, there's phenomenal. I live in the Seattle area, and when we get some, we're like, ah, you know, and everybody says how much it rains. Well, I will tell you that they look at the 200-year mark, and they're looking at 200 years. We have had more rain the last few months than we have in 200, I guess it's like 200 years. So don't think, people, that the story of Noah is not feasible. It's feasible. He's God. And he's not going to flood the earth with water again. That's his promise. A lot of people think, oh, that's, see, these are all these things that he showed me. A lot of people are like, oh, he said he's not going to do it again. There's a rainbow. And no, he's coming with fire. He's going to destroy it again with fire. Well, he's a God that can't have what's going on anymore. And he's still long, very long suffering, and he's loving, and he's merciful. His mercies are new every morning. People, get on your knees. If you don't know him, get on your knees. He's a God to be feared. He is. And a lot of people say, shaking? I shook. I was in awe of him. He was magnificent, but I was in awe. He's God. You know, I was in the heavenly realm, and I saw how, I don't remember what the angels looked like, because honestly, I've tried to share this message, and I believe that the Lord had me not recall what they look like, though I know that they're beautiful beings, because people tend to exalt the messenger instead of the one who gives the message. People tend to exalt the angels over Christ himself. And so what I saw was beyond beautiful, but I don't recall. And I, like I said, I shared, and people came up to me and said, so what did the angels look like? I said, the angels? Why would you ask me about that when I stood before Jesus? Yeah. You know, I'm just like, okay, that's why you didn't let me remember, you know? But what I'd seen, I saw prayers going up to the throne room of God. And this is why the Lord says, if my people who are called by my name will pray. Okay, the world's not going to pray. Well, they pray, you know, when things happen. But when we were in the world, it was something bad had to happen before we got down on our knees, right? Well, this is what's going to happen. Something really bad is going to happen. And then a lot of people are going to fall down on their knees. I just hope it's not too late. The church being the ones that are supposed to pray. And the Lord showed me that when I was there, my sister and the Lord was praying for me, and he showed me her praying. He said, do you see that? He moved his arm, and the atmosphere literally changed. It moved. And he pointed at what appeared to be like a TV screen. Or, you know, I don't really have the words for it. And I saw like a pixelation of my friend. And he said, you see her? And I said, yes, I do, Lord. And he said, she is praying for you right now. I saw her from the waist up and with her hands praying and her head bowed. And I saw her the way she was in the waiting room for me. And he said, she's praying for you right now. And I saw her prayers going up to the throne room, gathered by these beautiful beings. and taken up. And I said to him, "What is that?" And I had no idea. I had never seen anything like that before. I said, "That is so beautiful. What is that?" And he said, "Those are the prayers of my intercessors." Intercessors know that your prayers, if you are in a place of humility and brokenness, and you're truly praying in the spirit and in truth, they're not going to hit the ceiling. They're going to go up to the throne room of God, and those prayers are powerful. Prayers are powerful. They're praise to the Lord. That's what he showed me. I mean, as those prayers were going up, everything that had light danced and moved and sang, and it's beyond words. And we, as believers, need to start moving in that power that he's given us, that we're in the image of the Lord. And when we have Christ in us, the hope of glory, his magnificence can move through us. We, in this time that's coming, part of that preparedness is to lay hands on the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead. People, and it's been given to us. And there's going to be a time, and this is so important that I tell people this, and this is the part that some people don't want to hear. In the time that's coming, we have to believe, have so much belief and faith, and knowing that the power and the authority that it was given to us through Christ's death and resurrection lives in us as believers. Christ in, Christian. Come on, people, Christ in us. That when we see somebody that's in need, and that time will come, that we don't even hesitate, and we go put our hands on them and we pray. And this isn't some hokey charismatic stuff that's going around everywhere right now. We'll talk about that another time, brother. But this is the real deal. The real deal, where the unbeliever is going to go, "What? What? That person was dead." It's not something we're just going to hear that one man over in Ethiopia healed all these sick and cleansed all these people, and we haven't seen it with our own eyes. No, this is going to be seen with our own eyes, but our spirit has to get prepared. And that is that as Christians, that we do not purpose to sin. We obey Christ. We obey him. And this is not religious. This is not, you know, going back to the law. If you love him, you'll obey him. That's what he says. You'll obey those things. You won't live as you used to live. You'll hate the things that you used to love, and you'll love the things you used to hate.
Yeah, I'm thinking back to what you were sharing earlier about the depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Yeah, did he share you specifically anything to do with that, and, you know, more with the church?
Yeah, and he told me, he says, "You go back and you tell my church, you tell everyone, you go and tell the pastors, even if they don't want to hear you." And I have had doors slammed on me. You tell them that I'm coming. And that to worship me in spirit and in truth. I tell you, there's a lot of worship out there it's not going up to the throne room of God. It's a lot of all about me. And this is what he showed me. He grieves. I'm not putting one song down or one artist down, but I'm just going to give an example. He loves me. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves me. True, he loves us. But you know what worship is? It's about him.
Actually, that's something that, you know, because I do play in a worship team, and that's mm-hmm. something that actually, I don't know, troubles me is a lot of the songs. They're more about singing about God or singing about ourselves rather than singing to God and magnifying God. It's sort of like it's all this about stuff and lyrics that some of them are quite meaningless, and I'm thinking, what is this? This is just not, something's not right here, you know. And that's something that has bothered me, and I've spoken it, but a lot of people don't seem to see it. I don't know.
Yeah, and if you could see what you sing, brother, if you could see what it does in the heavenly realm, you'd be strumming on that guitar 24/7. I just want to encourage you that he does hear it. It does make a difference in the heavenly realm. And not only that, this comes to mind, and it's the Holy Spirit, that he sings songs of deliverance over us. When you sing, brother, I'm telling you, when you sing and you sing unto the Lord, you sing deliverance over the people. It's the same with prayers. So if you were to sing over somebody, I watched my own mother, and she was dying in the hospital, and I saw her dying, and I had two brothers come to the hospital. My husband and I had gone back and forth, and I said, would you please bring your guitar, and would you play in her room? My mother woke up and asked for something to eat.
Wow.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, so... It's big. It's big. What you do is not just for the, you know, for going and playing for the people. You're doing it for God, and you're getting people into an atmosphere. And I don't want to sound all new agey. You are doing something in the kingdom. It is making a difference.
Did God show you, or Jesus show you, any more of the abominations and the troubles that are coming upon the earth?
Yeah, it was horrifying. I saw women crying out in the street, just like they did in the Word, crying out for their children, crying out because their children were slain. And a lot of people say, well, how could God do that? The same way he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, there was children there. Why did he have to destroy the children? Because of what they learned from their parents, and it would only go from generation to generation. But we know why children were slain when Rachel was crying out, was because they're going to be looking to destroy Jesus. And he showed me that they're going to be looking to destroy Jesus. And how can they destroy the one that hasn't come yet? By destroying his children. And I saw it. I saw the persecution of the church, of the true church.
And did you see this? Well, were you conscious of it being anywhere in particular? Was it in America, or do you not know where it was? You know, was there anything specific about it?
All over the world. There's not going to be a place that isn't touched. But I will tell you this. I want to be really careful. That the nation that says that it's under God, better be aware that you will be judged harshly.
I hope that's a message that people will hear, because you know we are hearing a lot of how great America is and how great the touch of God and the founding fathers and all of those things. And to be honest, we have this similar thing in New Zealand. We have a heritage that is pretty mixed as well, but it had some great things at the roots of our heritage as well. Our national anthem is God Defend New Zealand, and it's sort of like America in a sense, where we've exalted ourselves as to, well, people of New Zealand was always known as God's own, you know, to many people, and so we've had that same kind of thing. So in a way, it's not only America, but New Zealand has that same, I suppose, pride in the Christian heritage. Which is scary when you think, that we will be potentially judged harshly too because of it.
Yeah, and, you know, there's no one whom is great, and there's no other kingdom that is great besides God's kingdom, and he is the only one that's great. And anything that exalts itself above God will be torn down. And if you know the word, you're very, I hear you, I listen. There's a lot of things that are being built up in this nation, weapons of war and, all of these things that they'll be taken down, just like the Tower of Babel. It will be destroyed. You can't get to God by natural means. That's why he's telling the church to to come to him and to worship in spirit and truth. The church is not going to be the church until they do that, until they come together and worship in spirit and in truth. They already think. A lot of people think, oh, you know, we've got it. We've got it. No, don't think you have it. Because God will show us that we don't.
Do you think America is under our reprieve?
I think it's going to look like that. That's the great deception. A reprieve? As if God put a man in to hold back his hand? No, I don't think that. That's, you asked me my opinion. You know, it's not something that thus says the Lord, but I don't think any man can hold back God's hand. I think that there's, in a lot of people's imagination, there's something that's going on and God's holding it back and giving more time because prayer has been answered. Because they're not looking at the judgments. See, if people were to really tune into other parts of the nation. I have a sister in South Africa. Horrible things are happening in South Africa. You see things where you're at too. This is all what's going to happen before he really takes and does what he needs to do to clean things up. No, I don't think that there's a reprieve. I think that people that have that perception are going to be deceived by another prince, and it's not Jesus. If they feel peace, that's because they don't have him. The true peace comes from God in us, you know, that peace that surpasses all understanding. But if they think nothing's going on out there, then they haven't bought a loaf of bread for $5, have they?
Yeah.
I do want to say that when he said what he said to me, he says, tell them I am coming soon. Tell them I love them and I'm coming soon. And he emphasized his love for us. And a lot of people want to grab a hold of that. And this is a good thing to grab a hold of because it's the only thing that's going to get us through. I love them and I am coming soon. Tell them I love them and I'm coming soon. Are you ready? Are you ready for his coming? Because he's coming for a bride without spot or wrinkle. And he says their sins, the sins that they commit are the sins against me. Please, people, this is what he emphasized more than anything. Tell them I love them and I'm coming soon. Please get yourselves ready. Please get your houses in order. Please fall on your knees. If you haven't, fall on your knees and ask him to show you your sins against him. He will. He's faithful and just to do that. And he will cleanse you of all unrighteousness. You have to go and sin no more. He's not going to shame you. We do enough of that all on our own. Don't run away from the Lord. Come to him. Go to him quickly. There's not much more time. That's what he said. He told me to tell them there's not much more time. And the church will be held responsible for those that perish. I'm telling you.
We hear a lot of messages of prosperity and, you know, how to live your best life now kind of a thing. But what about the people that are being lost? How much are we really reaching out to the people that are outside the kingdom?
We have to tell everyone the truth. It's not just a little bit. You know, it's not, what is the truth, brother? It's the whole kit and caboodle. You know, if you do not receive Christ, you will not enter into his kingdom. Many can say that they know God. I know God. I had a guy tell me the other day, I saw a young man that was looked like he was writhing in pain and he was on drugs. And I wept and I said, you need to take him to the hospital. He says, well, I said, and he needs Jesus. That's what I said. I said, he needs Jesus. And he says, I have a Bible. Your Bible's not going to save you. Your pastor's not going to save you. My pastor's not going to save me. My Bible's not going to save me. My husband's not going to save me. My children, my home, my cars, my anything. My money is not going to save me. That's going to be tossed out in the street. The only thing that's going to save me is Jesus. And knowing him and clinging to him and moving in his power and his might in the time that's going to come.
Yes, yeah, that's very true. So when you were in the presence of Jesus, how did it end? Did it just end all of a sudden, or did he share something specific, or what happened that the experience ended, and how did it end?
I felt myself. He told me that I had to go back. And so I literally felt myself go back. I asked to stay longer, and he said I couldn't. So I sensed that I couldn't stay longer, because if I stayed longer, they'd never get me back. So from what I understand, I wasn't dead, but I did stop breathing. So something had happened where I did stop breathing. Now you can stop breathing, you can hold your breath, right? Not dead, you hold your breath. So when I was at that moment where I couldn't, you know, get it, nothing else could come in or out, I believe that's when I was brought back into my body. I wept, I cried. But what I do know is that when I woke up, the first thing I said was, I saw Jesus, I saw Jesus. That was the testimony. And it was a testimony for those that were in the room, because I would not shut up. I told them everything. And that's what he told me to do. He said, you go back and you tell them everything that I show you and everything that I tell you, that you have, that there is a place after death, that we do know that there is life after this. A lot of people think that, well, you just go to the grave, that's it. Those that are in Christ are going to see Jesus. Do you want to see him? Do you want to know that you're in him? I'm thankful that I was able to see Jesus. I don't know what else to say.
Well, what was the reaction of the people, you know, when you sort of came round and that was what you said? How did people react to that?
Well, I do know that I was completely sober right afterwards. That astonished them, because the Lord had told me that he showed me that what the effects of the anesthesia were not even going to affect me. He gave me a vision of a dog shaking the water off its back. And I was like, I thought that was really weird, but he does that. He gives us, you know, these little things. And I was like, oh, you know, okay. And he said, it's not even going to affect you. It's going to be like water off a duck's back, or dog, you know, shaking it off. So when I woke up, they thought that I would, you know, it would be like incoherent. It should be incoherent. I could say I saw Jesus, but what I did was I the anesthesiologist, now I don't remember what I'd said to him, but later on, I asked to see him again some weeks down the road, and I went to meet him face to face. And he said, how did you know all those things about me? I can't tell you what I know about him. You know, I said, the Lord. And so I was able to give him the testimony, and that God knew who he was before he was knit in his mother's womb. And a lot of other things about him and about the kingdom. He said, you just wouldn't, I guess I talked the whole time I was on the operating table too. Like I was talking to the doctors and the nurses while I was under, which is weird, right? I mean, you can do that when you're under anesthesia, when you get your teeth, you know, when you have that laughing gas or whatever, you know, they get pretty silly and they say all kinds of silly things. But the thing is that the doctor said that he stopped when the operation was over. They couldn't wake me up. And this has happened a couple of times. They couldn't get me awake. They had to wrap me in warmth and whatnot, and just to kind of get me. But when I was awake, it astonished them, because I went from being out to fully awake. And I had a lot to say to a whole lot of people. And I had one doctor actually came to the Lord, not for my doing, but whatever it was that I said, it made me believe. So, and it'll scare the bejeebies out of you if you have something to say, and the only one that knows. It'll make somebody turn away from their sin. It should. Better know something about somebody. If you really have a prophetic message for somebody, it's not going to you, and they're in sin, it's not going to really always make them feel good to tell them how much God loves them is good. But you have to tell them to turn from their sin, and not everybody wants to hear that. So we have to speak soul to soul, and say, God sees what you're doing. And it's, you know, and there is a God. So that's what happened in the operating room. There are hearts that changed. And hearts changed. Even my own husband was like, okay, my wife's not the same person. She'll never be the same person again.
So this is one thing that is quite different from, you know, a lot of people, they hush up and don't say anything for quite a while, and then sometime later they'll talk about their near-death experience or whatever. But the fact that you were instantly into it is what's quite different about your testimony, and that's kind of cool, actually. You know, that it was so instant, that the change, the experience impacted you so much that right from the word go, you were sharing it.
Oh yeah, I was out sharing it. But I will tell you, Tony, that the Lord showed me a minute to midnight. He showed me, because I had cried out to him. I said, who, Lord, who? Because he was saying, you have to share this message again. I'd be in so much trouble, Tony, if the Lord told me to tell the people. He said that was the last message. He said, tell them I love them and I'm coming soon. The Lord loves, he loves who? He loves those that love him. How do we know that he loves us? Because we obey him. It's in the word. And so if I hadn't told you, Tony, the Lord loves you and he's coming soon, wouldn't you want to prepare yourself? Not only are you hearing God loves you, but he's coming soon. So by his love, you can move in what he wants for you, and he wants you to live with him for all eternity. That makes you want to get ready for his coming, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too.
Would you like to pray for our listeners as the Spirit leads you? Because I'm sure there'll be people here that, in all sorts of positions, some that will, you know, need to repent, some that are Christians, some that have probably never heard, you know, or don't know Jesus. You know, there are probably all sorts of people. So perhaps if you would like to pray for our listeners, that would be great.
Yeah, amen. And I'd like to pray for the church, too, at hand here, too, with the same. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Father God, I just first and foremost want to give you all the glory. I want to thank you so much for this time of fellowship and being able to reach out to the people with your word, Lord. I know that that there's, even when we think there's something I'm missing or I might have forgotten something, Lord, you give us the words to speak in due season. You are the one that tells us what to say and what not to say, Father God. So I just ask that these words go forth in your power and your might. I ask that the words be sharp, sharper than any two-edged sword, that they bring truth to the hearts of men and women, Father God, and even to the smallest of small, Father God, that would be listening, that they would know that you're a God of love and you're also a God that has commands, and that they would look into those commands, Father God, not in a way of it being burdensome to hold down these things, Father God, but they would want to in love know who you are and see that these things are just like me telling my little one, don't go near the road because it's dangerous. So Father, the same way that your commands would guide them and lead them and keep them from harm, I pray that if there be anybody out there that hasn't given their life unto the Lord, that they would do so, that they would know that Jesus is the Savior. He's the safe way. He is the only way. He is the only life. And he will take and he will cleanse you of all unrighteousness. He will take those things that have boggled your mind and tormented your heart, and he will wash them away, and he will give you a new life in him, and you will become born again. And I just pray that you would give your life, repent. That means to turn away from the things that you once did and turn away from the sins that are in your life and give your life to Christ and live each and every day for him. And I ask this in Jesus' holy name. I ask this for all who listen, that if you're not walking with him, that you would get right this day. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you for what you've shared today, Elizabeth, and I'm sure we will be chatting again on the show.
I would love to. I'm so thankful for you. God bless you. Lord, bless Tony and the ministry, Lord God, and the sisters. Bless them all, Father. I ask this in Jesus' name. I love you, Tony. Thank you.
And thank you, too. This has been great and very encouraging. So, yeah, it's been awesome to have you on the A Minute to Midnight show today, Elizabeth.
Amen. He loves you and he's coming soon.
After this interview finished and I was talking to Elizabeth off air, she told me of a second encounter that she'd had with Jesus again on the operating table a few months following this one, and it is also an incredibly powerful encounter with a further message. And so we agreed to have Elizabeth come back, and she will be returning to tell us that second vision. And so keep your eyes out for that on our YouTube channel and also our website and iTunes, where you can find all of our shows. A Minute to Midnight is run entirely by donations. Don't forget us, folks. There's only a small group that do donate to us, but we really are very grateful to you that do help us out, because we really need it to keep going. So thank you for that. We are a small team, A Minute to Midnight. It's not just me. There is a few of us in the team. And we also have a Facebook group, which you're welcome to join, and A Minute to Midnight Facebook group as well. I write, play, and record all the music in our shows, and you can find an album of my music, instrumental music used in our shows, for free download on the aminutetomidnight.com website as well. Well, folks, that's it for this episode. This is Tony signing off. Until the next show.